Welcome back to PJs in Prosecco. You guys, I'm so excited. We have our second guest speaker joining us, and it is someone who lives and breathes divine alignment. I am joined by the one and only Alexandra Hanley, one of my spiritual mentors. She is a chief spiritual advisor, cosmic priestess, Akashic Records architect, and creator of the world-renowned Awaken Bliss Codes with my girl Pam, who was on one of our previous episodes. She's also a Hay House deck creator, best-selling author, and a true, true spiritual goddess. I love her so much. And she has literally gone from walking the runway down this sacred path, and she really is bringing forth the next set of spiritually conscious leaders. And I just can't wait for you guys to get a taste of her guiding wisdom and her light and the power that she brings. We talk about so many amazing, amazing things in this episode. We're going into Alex's spiritual awakening and her journey. It's so interesting. I thought I knew, and I learned something new. And then how she came about to bringing around the Awakened Bliss Codes, those sacred downloads. And it's one of my favorite energetic modalities to date. So you got to listen just for that alone. And the importance of boundaries, gratitude, and community when you're in your spiritual awakening. We are not holding back on anything. This is literally going to blow your minds. So this one is going to be mystical. It's going to be empowering. And it is going to be the real deal. Hello, babes. Welcome to PJs and Prosecco. Our show is dedicated to making spirituality fun, approachable, and real. You're already spiritually gifted, so I'm here to help you understand how to use those gifts to create your dream life. I'm your host, Emily Gornick, aka The Rich Witch Next Door, your certified spiritual coach and mentor, here to make healing, growth, and soul alignment feel less like a chore and more like a vibe by combining the woo with mindset magic. Think deep, soul-stirring conversations with a side of sparkle, hosted in pajamas, Prosecco in hand, of course. So whether we're talking intuition, healing, or manifesting your dream life, just know you belong here. So cozy up in your PJs, grab your Prosecco, and let's dive in. Hi, everyone. Welcome back to PJs and Prosecco. I am so excited. Guest number two is none other than my spiritual mentor, Alex. And I know we had Pam. Now we have Alex, her business partner. So we're getting all the woo, all the business, all the thing. So Alex, welcome.
Oh my gosh, Emily, I'm so happy to be here and help you to kick off your amazing podcast, PJs and Prosecco. Let's go.
Let's go. Fun fact for those that are just listening, we are not actually in our PJs, but we are comfortable.
Yes, we're comfy.
So Alex, I obviously know you so well. You are one of my mentors, and I have been in Sedona with you. I've been in programs with you, like all the things. But for the girlies that don't know, I would love if you could just do a little intro and tell us about yourself.
Yeah, I'd love to. So hello, everyone. My name is Alexandra Hanley. As Emily already mentioned, I'm the other half of Pam as far as our work goes. So Pam and I are co-founders of the Awakened Mystery School, and we endeavor to help people on their spiritual paths through ancient mystery teachings. I especially have a strong emphasis on the Vedas and helping people to find their purpose in life and to use that purpose to create offerings and services, to create a soul-aligned entrepreneurship to help the whole planet and help ourselves.
Oh my gosh. And Alex, I feel like we should just dive right into ABC.
Okay.
I just love it so much. And I was like, okay, we've got like the Vedas, we've got like all the ancient energies, we've got all the things. Yeah. Alex is like priestess energy. So
thank you.
I am now getting even higher level certified in the Awakened Bliss Codes. Yes. I feel like everyone needs to know what it is.
Well, I obviously feel the same about that. Yeah, so the Awakened Bliss Codes This came around in 2020. So when I really took off with my entrepreneurship, I started by teaching yoga. And that really wasn't enough for me to feel like I was making a big impact in the world. And it was actually Pam who became my business coach early on. And she helped me to create programs around the spiritual teachings. And one thing that really came through really strongly was I started getting these energy codes. And what I mean by that is, if you've ever done Reiki before, you have any understanding of Reiki, there are these symbols, right, that hold a very potent type of energy medicine. And so I was doing Reiki at the time. I actually grew up with Reiki, so that was very normal for me. And I, at this point, I had taken off 4 years. I was completely isolated from the world, meaning I had absolutely zero social interaction essentially for about 4 years. This was after my yoga training. And the only people I really had contact with was my immediate family. And I moved to the base of a mountain. I actually moved in with my parents in a small village on a dirt road in the middle of nowhere, Vermont. And I just dove into ancient texts for about, 4 years straight and really diving into my spirituality. It wasn't new to me, but there was a new level of depth here. And when I was meditating, which I did a lot then, and I still do, I spend about 3 hours a day on my spiritual practices. And I started to get these energy codes in meditation. I started to see the energies, and I knew that they were energies that I could tune into and direct. It just felt very clear to me, even though it wasn't explained. And I remember when I got the first code. I call it codes because it's a lot bigger than symbols. When I got the first one, I remember testing it and trying it to see what it would be like. And a whole bunch of stuff fell over in my closet out of nowhere. And I just remember,
what? I didn't even do this. Yeah. Like, this is new news for me.
I activated the first code that came through, which is now the master code. And I just I remember everything looked super bright, kind of trippy. And I was really, really hot and sweating. I kind of felt like I was in a different reality. And I activated the code. And I'm a big nerd. So I had a lot of books in my closet too. And a bunch of magical things along with clothes. And as soon as I activated it, everything tumbled down in my closet. Out of nowhere, nothing broke, a shelf didn't break or anything like that, but somehow everything fell off the shelves. And I knew that this was a very powerful energy I was getting. And so these codes kept coming through. And I was like, these are amazing. They started to change my life, to make me feel more positive, really help my health. I used to struggle a lot with my health. I had Hashimoto's thyroiditis, endometriosis. I had to get surgery for all these health issues. And I started healing myself through these energies. And then I approached Pam and some other people, and I was like, you want to try this? And they were my guinea pigs.
Oh, fun.
And immediately, they were feeling the energies, and I didn't give them any information about it before sending it. And they could sense exactly what the codes were. And I knew this was real. I was meant to share it with the world. And so Pam at that time was still my business partner. So she helped me take these codes and put them into a deliverable system to help train others in it. And now we have people all over the world, just like you, Emily, in tons of countries, actually, in a bunch of continents, using these codes. And we call the practitioners unifiers, because the energy behind it is really for unity consciousness, the law of one. And, being in this world of separation consciousness, it can be really painful trying to navigate that. And so our goal overall with the codes is to bring ourselves back into unity consciousness. And along the way, there's a lot of benefits too with the codes.
Yeah, there are. I feel like every single, when I was getting certified with you and, level 1, 2, now soon to be 3. And it was wait, this symbol does what and what and what and what and what? Oh my gosh, just mind blowing. And I've now been practicing with using the codes for, I don't even know now, what am I, 2.5, 3 months?
Yeah.
And I agree. I just feel like the energy is so, I love Reiki. Love, love, love it. But there's just something about the Awaken Bliss codes that is, you're exactly right. That unity consciousness and that bringing it all together and not feeling like you're doing it alone. And it's also just cool because you've created the community where we can now go to each other and be like, hey, I have this going on or that going on, or, something with a friend or family. Can you help send energy and codes? And you can feel it.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. Yeah, it can be really immediate, which is another really fun thing about the codes too, is how powerful it is, just like right off the bat with those energies. And we do believe it's because, it was born in a later age than, say, Reiki, right? And there's a lot more like kind of science that goes into that according to the spiritual texts. And I'm not sure where we want to go with that discussion,
I mean, we
but
can go
I do
wherever.
believe.
If people
Okay,
don't
so
understand
should I
it,
dive
like,
into
if
it?
people don't understand it, like, they can, like, DM you and ask questions.
Okay. So just to put the very complicated concept very simply, and I know you know all about this, Emily, but your
They
listeners
may
may
not.
not. There's something,
Yeah.
okay. There's something called the Yugas, Yuga. And the Yugas are the ages of humanity. And there are four types. So it starts all the way, it's a wheel. So it starts all the way up at the top, which is the golden era. This is known as Satyug. And this is where everything is like all love. Everybody's telepathic. There's no such thing as money because everybody just like has what they need. Really, the top tier of life on this planet. And then there's a descent side, right? Just like a wheel, right? It goes up and it goes down. So it starts to descend and it goes into the Silver Age, where there's still magic, there's still a bit of telepathy, but we start to lose some of that consciousness. And what happens is competition kind of starts to come in. There's a little seeding of separation consciousness, and that is called Tretayug. And then we go down into the Bronze Age, and this is considered the fall of magic. So this is where we start to be told, oh no, like you need to listen to higher authorities. You don't have the power yourself, right? And this is where states and governments and all those like higher forces that try to control start coming in, and then we lose our own sovereignty. And then that's when we fall into the Iron Age, and this is what's called Kali Yug. And this is really the lowest point for humanity. We saw this really strongly in like the medieval times, where there was like a lot of torture and darkness, and everybody's kind of out to get the other person because there's so much scarcity. Then it starts to go back up that wheel. So then it's considered the ascending Kali Yug. People start to fight the systems, right? And it's still like in this dark period, though. So it doesn't go that great, but we start to see like revolutions and people wanting change and people wanting what's best for all. So we start to see a little bit of a shift. And then we go up back through all the ages, back up to Satyug. And right now it's believed, and there's a lot of debate about this in the yoga and Veda communities around where we really are at. But I believe from all the sources I've looked at that we are now out of Kali Yuga and we're back up into the ascending Dwapara. That's the Bronze Age. And this is the return of magic. And so when we apply this to energy technologies, Reiki was technically born in the Kali Yuga. So it just doesn't have the same level of consciousness that is embedded in higher technologies that are being born now. However, Reiki, it pioneered, it really made the way for us to be able to receive those energies. So even though I would say it doesn't have the same level of consciousness, say as like the Awakened Bliss codes, it was absolutely imperative in order for these higher energies to come through to humanity because they helped bring us up and out of that Kali Yug. So that is why the Awakened Bliss codes I consider to be a lot more powerful than Reiki, not because it's a better or worse system, just because of when it was born.
Yeah, and it's so interesting too, because I think for my listeners to know, like, you still actually certify everyone in Reiki, right? To almost like
Yes.
open them up to be able to experience and activate the ABC codes, I feel like at a deeper level. Would you say that's true?
Absolutely. Yes. I mean, there were a few reasons I wanted to include Reiki in here. Is because it is also very, it's still very entry level. And you know firsthand how complex the Awakened Bliss codes can be. So we do need some core, like some sort of foundation that we all are working with the same frameworks of how energy works. So it's very entry level. It's easy. Reiki is very, very easy. Not that Awakened Bliss codes is hard, but there's a lot more that goes into it. And the other reason, and we don't always share this, but I do feel like I'm going to share this right
Let's do
now,
it.
is because unifiers and ABC and what we consider our community is called the Bliss Force, we do infiltrate. We do infiltrate old systems. And so it was important for us to bring Reiki in, but inside of the ABC umbrella, so that we could also help uplift those energies. Again, not because they're a worse modality, but just because it's a modality that was born in the lowest era. Yeah. So we do believe it's still powerful and those energies can be uplifted.
Yeah, that's so true. And I love all of it, of course. So what would you say? So I do feel like 2020, it was like popcorn spiritual awakening. Like, instead of having the long drawn out spiritual awakening, people were like, awake. Yeah. And now there's a second wave, I feel like. I don't know if you agree, but I just feel like there's a second wave coming through. It's like a little less popcorny, but people are starting to get it more. What would you say to someone who's just exploring and starting out? Yeah, what advice would you have? I can't even think like back when I was waking what I would even tell myself, but what would you tell them?
First of all, my advice would be you're not crazy.
That's true.
Right? Because it can feel so like, what the heck? Am I losing my mind? Why aren't my friends seeing this? Like, my family thinks I'm like a little bit like off my rocker right now. You know, like those things start coming in because oftentimes we do awaken in a vacuum. We are on our own kind of in that. And there's a lot that goes into it, right? Karma, dharma, you know, being in the right place at the right time. And, you know, our family and friends aren't always on board with that. And also it's a major identity change. Also, we start to open up our consciousness in the environment to what has always been there all along, but maybe we didn't have the ability to perceive it before. Yeah. So for instance, you might start seeing colors differently. You might start seeing tons of synchronicities. Things just might start kind of blowing your mind. And no, you're not crazy. That would be my first advice. My second advice would be keep following the breadcrumbs. Mm-hmm. Because when we do start awakening, we're going to start seeing things that, you know, our soul is bringing through for us to follow the trail that's going to bring us to our next level, right? So when you start seeing things repeating, or you keep hearing the same book from people, or you keep seeing the same messages on Instagram, whatever the case is, that's not an accident. Keep following that trail. And my third piece of advice would be get a mentor and get a community. Yeah. 100%. And your mentors will always evolve through time. They will. Some you'll keep for a long time. Others will just be transient, maybe for a month or so, just to keep you in the momentum and picking up all the information that you individually need on soul level. And I think I haven't ever been without a coach at some point since 2020. And even before that, I had my yoga mentors. So I've always had a coach, no matter what. I haven't gone without in many years. And it's not because I am putting off, you know, my authority or my sovereignty, but just to keep growing and expanding. It's a growth mindset. And it's really hard to navigate that alone, which brings me to the community aspect, to have people that get you, right? Because there's a lot on this path that other people are not going to understand. And unless you are surrounding yourself with people who are high vibrational, who can understand on some level what you're moving through, you'll feel really isolated and alone, and it might cause you to backtrack. So I think being in community is really, really important.
So critical. So critical. Yeah. I mean, on any aspect of the spiritual awakening or the business journey, you have to have peers and community. I was just at a picnic in the park last night. Aww. And I was talking about how I was like, when I go, you know, it's a roller coaster as an entrepreneur. You have your ups, your downs, but you can actually then go to your peers and your mentors and be like, oh my gosh, help me see what I'm not seeing to move through it, instead of just like hitting your head against a wall, trying to figure it out over and over and over again. That's even more frustrating.
Yeah.
I mean, you and Pam just gave me like so many breakthroughs the past couple of weeks. I was literally like, whoa, 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 whoa.
Yeah. And you, I mean, but you're so open, right? And like when we're so open to it and like we can put aside our egos, because that's a big part of it, that's when like so much unfolds for us, so much opens. And I think a big part of being able to be like, hey, yes, I would like a mentor, is that level of humility. It doesn't make us any less wise, any less intelligent. It just helps us to maybe, you know, change the mirror a little bit and see things from a different perspective. Yeah.
You know, I also love when, you know, people are going down the like, let me look at books or like YouTube, but then they have that aha moment of, okay, wait, this is just me scratching the surface. Like, time to fully dive into the pool. Like, I'm not dipping a toe anymore. And I feel like
when I had that experience, I you're right, it was breadcrumbs. I literally had a spiritual mentor put in my path, two of them put in my path back in 2020, like one to help me develop my mediumship, because that is scary. When you're a muggle, now I'm not scared of it at all. Like when you're first starting out, you're like, was that something that went bump in the night? Oh, wait, it went bump during the middle of the day. Ah. And then one for Reiki. So it was like so divine timing too. Yeah. I feel like spirit just keeps, I keep wanting to like go somewhere else. And spirit keeps being like, we got to come back to Alex's spiritual awakening. Mm-hmm. I feel like we need to hear about your spiritual awakening.
Okay. Yeah.
If you're willing to share.
Okay. So yeah. Okay. Oh, of course. Yeah. I'm very open about it. So I was raised in a household where, you know, this stuff was actually pretty open. So I did grow up in a Christian household where we went to church every Sunday. I went through confirmation. I actually even had a little shrine in my room growing up. Like I was very religious. I would read the Bible just on my own.
Wow. Yeah, actually.
Yeah, and like I would go to the library and just sneak off and go to like the witchy section. I remember once I got a yoga book. I didn't even know what it was. And I brought it home. I must have been like 8 years old. And I just started, you know, I went in the backyard and I started trying to do all the poses. I had no idea it was yoga. But I mean, I think we bring in some soul memories too when we come here. And then my mom was already doing Reiki. Very, very spiritual. She spoke to angels, although at that time I did not know that. And my family, from a number of generations on my mother's side, were tarot readers. So that was passed down. So I was, you know, I had some awareness around it. I did have a very strong faith. And then I started to have some difficulties in life and I started to lose my faith. I went to college. I went for clinical psychology and I got really into statistics. Actually, I really loved that. Behavioral economics was my capstone. So I really loved the numbers, actually. And so because of that, it was coupled with like this doubt and struggle I was already feeling. And I lost all faith. And I believed, okay, well, God is just kind of like this made up thing to comfort people because they're scared of death. That's what I thought. And I totally lost all faith. And if I couldn't prove it, I couldn't believe it. And I ended up graduating from college. And I decided to move back to New York. I was born in New York. I was raised in New Jersey. I ended up moving to New York City, where I lived for 8 years. And I became a model. And that led me down a very, very dark night of the soul. I ended up falling into very heavy drug addiction, alcoholism. I really, you know, I didn't have a great time then. I didn't know it at the time, Emily, but you'll understand this. It was my K2 period. Oh. So it was, if anybody doesn't know what that is, that's the hardest part in a Vedic astrology chart where we have a lot of loss. And it tends to be at the tail end of that where people have awakenings. And that's exactly what happened. So I decided I needed to leave New York. And I ended up going to a Disney audition. My friend was a director. And he was like, oh, go to this Disney audition. It's for princesses. It's right up your alley.
Yeah.
Like, get there. It wasn't for princesses, Emily. It ended up being for dancers on the cruise ship and I could not dance. So like there were like thousands of people there, right? This is Manhattan. And I'm like, you know, trying to keep up with the choreography. I could not. So I would just stand there and wave like a princess. And I thought they would get rid of me.
I'm manifesting princess.
Well, yeah. So I ended up making it to the final 10 somehow, even though I couldn't dance, right? And I was like, okay, well, I'm obviously not going to get picked to be a princess. But they ended up calling me a few months later and they said they'd never done this before, but they were asking if I would relocate to another park. They would pay, they put me up. I would just be under like this contract. So I'm like, heck yeah, I need to get out of here. So they asked me which park I wanted to go to. And I said, I'll go to California. That's the furthest away.
Yeah.
And I went out there. And I didn't know anybody, but my brother was really helpful. I have a very good relationship with my brother, and he helped connect me with people out there. And one of them, we became really good friends, Brian, and he ended up asking me to go to a yoga festival. And at that time, I was not into yoga. I did not know yoga. Like, I thought these people were weirdos. And I was like, fine, I'll go. I really didn't want to. And, you know, I end up there, like, all in my, like, Victoria's Secret pink and, like, you know, like, really out there. Everybody's wearing, like, natural linens and stuff. I didn't even have a yoga mat with me. And, yeah, I didn't know anything. I was like, what are all these weirdos doing with, like, rocks? Why are they selling rocks for, like, $50? These people are nuts. Like, ecstatic dancing. I'm like, this is, like, psychos out
here. And now the amount you spent on those $50 rocks, you're like, man, 50's cheap.
Right. Now I get it. But then I didn't. And everybody's talking about this breath session, right? Mm-hmm. So I ended up having to wait in line for like 3 hours. My friend was supposed to meet me and he never made it. He ended up getting stuck in another session. And I was the last person who got through when they closed the door because it was closed. It would cut off with a certain number of people. So I get him. I don't have anything to lay down with, right? Like, I'm just like laying on this hard floor. I don't know what we're about to do. Well, we go into this pranayama, which now I know what that is, which is a type of very ancient breathing from India. And we go into the breathing and I start hearing people screaming and howling and laughing hysterically. I'm like, these people are friggin' nuts. And I couldn't help myself. I just start laughing at them. I'm like, well, these people are nutcases. I'm laughing. I felt kind of bad because I'm like audibly laughing. But then I felt there were tears running down my cheeks. And I was like, oh, something's happening. And what happened next was I actually felt this whole like culmination of every pain point I've ever experienced in myself. Every time I ever felt victimized, everything that felt like negative to me in my life just kind of all came together in that moment. And I passed through like this energy of complete sublime forgiveness. And when I moved through that forgiveness, something happened to me where I shifted into a different form of myself, a higher form of myself. And then I passed into my soul. And I know this was a very high level samadhi now. In fact, my mentor at the time said it was gnosis, it was theophany, which is what saints experience, people who go through a very high level of awakening. Yeah. And I went into my soul. I saw all of these downloads of the universe and how the universe kind of works. This is where I learned all of the stuff about the ancient texts before I read it. And I remember not wanting to come back. I didn't even remember who Alex was. And I did come back down into my body. And it was very hard for me to reintegrate from that because I had no prior experience. Ooh. But it changed my whole life. I ended up leaving California and I went back to Vermont. And as I mentioned already, we lived on a dirt road. And out of nowhere, a yoga studio opens right down the road. And my dad was like, Alex, you think this is a sign? Like, I think so. And this was 2015. I think around 2015 this happened, maybe 2014. And I ended up going to the yoga school, went through the 500 hours. And, you know, after having that awakening, though, I could never do anything else. It was so solidified that my purpose was to help people on the spiritual path. And I've never backtracked or wondered on that ever again. Like, I just knew this was my mission. And then it just kept unfolding from there. So my, you know, it's very clear to me, I'm meant to help people, help to them to awaken, because I do believe there are keys that are passed. So helping people to awaken, help them to navigate that, because I didn't have that really, and to help animals as well. So I do use a lot of the resources that come through the company to help animals too. So that was my awakening journey.
I thought I knew your awakening journey. I did not. Like, that is wild. And so cool too. I feel like you needed to have it be abrupt in order to hold the space that you are now for people. Like, I feel like your awakening had to be that way.
Yes.
You know?
Yes, I do too. I wondered, you know, why. And I did find that yogi shaman who facilitated it years later. And I was like, oh, I see them on Facebook now. Let me thank them. So I reached out and I was like, I don't know what you did, but thank you. And they were like, I'll show you. And I was the only person they ever took to train one-on-one in that. And that's why I do that now in the academy with ABC. So that was a big journey for me too. But the way they explained it was my dharma, which is why I'm really big on teaching about dharma now, because some people will get to that awakening because they put in the work. Right. And they do the preparation. And others, it just has to happen at a certain time, whether you're ready or not.
That is so true. And I think it's so interesting, too, that it was almost that spiritual body release and like awakening for you. Because, you know, I think that everyone has their own awakening story, but what an interesting way for it to integrate for you. Like, no wonder you're doing what you're doing.
I feel like for me, like, because I was in such doubt, I did not have faith. I did not believe then. And I felt like you said, Emily, like it had to be that strong. I've also got like a packed 8-house stellium. So I felt like anytime I have a transformation, it's got to be big.
Got to be like huge and like, okay, yep, right in my face. Like, there it is.
Yeah. And also to support others, like you said, like now I know if someone
you know, is going through a big awakening, I can hold that now. Just like you, like you're able to hold your people in that because you've been through
it. Oh, yeah. And I do think that you're exactly right. There's people like us that are here to help with the awakening, to either activate them, but then also help guide them through the journey because it can feel lonely and scary and like, am I going nuts? I feel like that's the number one thing I get asked. Like, am I crazy or is this my intuition or am I crazy? But am I crazy? And I'm like, you're not actually at all.
Or maybe we are what society has deemed crazy, right? Like maybe that is the narrative that like we would fall into that group, but that's where we need to question those models and systems and the, you know, powers that be. And that is so much this yuga is questioning that so that we can bring our own power back to ourselves to benefit ourselves, but also the whole, because the systems that be and have been in this Kali Yuga is not to benefit everyone.
I am dead. Like, honey just keeps like raising her hand. Like, I have something to say. No, you can't see this on the podcast if you're listening, but honey is here. She's on every podcast, usually sniffing the mic, snorting. Today she's raising her paw. Like, I have something to say. Yes. I feel like honey's like, thanks for looking out for the animals, because honey and Finley are both rescues.
Oh, yeah. Yes.
And we got to be a voice for the voiceless, right?
Yes. Exactly.
And you guys actually give a portion back.
11% of what comes through our company, we do donate to. I mean, it's always been animal charities for me, but Pam and I have also expanded that to water. Mm-hmm. Water in like Africa, helping women who have been abused or in bad situations as well across the world. So we do have an emphasis in Africa. I know you've been to Tanzania too, so that's very close to my heart, but also all around the world, getting clean water to people, helping also because we do believe that we're working with the planet so closely in all of our galactic missions. So we do help with planting trees around the world and other cleanup missions, but the animals will always be a big part of my mission, a big part of my heart. I mean, I'm really big on that. I always have been, you know, I'm a vegan and, you know, an animal rights activist. So that's always been a big thing. But yeah, it's 11% we donate.
Which is so amazing and so cool. I feel like whenever we can give back, it helps the collective so much. So applauding you both for doing that, bringing it into your business. The puggies say, yay, cute animals.
And it doesn't have to be money. No. I mean, as you know, and probably Pam talked about, Pam and I have been like broke. Before. And, you know, we don't always have the money. And that's okay. Like, we can go volunteer. I've done a lot of volunteer work. Like, we can just go to a shelter and help. If people know Reiki, actually, shelters love that for people to come in and do animal Reiki. So there's a lot of ways. Or just, you know, if you see a story on Instagram, sharing it actually helps
a lot. That's so, so true. And I think that that does get lost a lot. Like, that everyone just thinks it has to be monetary all the time. But I mean, that's, yes, like even us in our business, right? Like we're making money because the more money we make, the bigger impact we can have. But there's also the part of just like being in service and making sure that we're holding space collectively and for the planet and animals and all the things. So important.
Yeah. So important. Yeah. And I think that comes back to that unity consciousness piece. Right? Like we can be in service to ourselves. And this is why, especially now that you're in level 3, you'll see the bigger emphasis on this. But you know, in the raw material, if anybody's familiar with this, there are texts called the raw material, and it talks all about the law of one. It's basically divided between service to others or service to the self. But actually, Pam and I now call it service to the all, that we can kind of merge that and be service to the all, where we are serving ourselves and others. And that's really important because we are one consciousness. And so any sort of separation is, you know, going to create issues.
Well, we see that now in the world, like all this, not like me against everyone or this group against that group. And you're like, we're moving through some things collectively. We won't touch on that though, because we're having PJs and Prosecco. We're not touching on that.
Yeah, we're just PJs and Prosecco here.
We don't need to go, that way. We'll get spiritually deep instead. Okay, I have a random question that I feel like just popped into my head. What is like, you think one of the biggest misconceptions for spiritual entrepreneurs when they're first kind of like building their business or like getting into their magic, like what's the biggest misconception that you've seen? Or maybe it just drives you nuts.
Or like, oh, what drives me nuts? Well, that's a little bit different.
Yeah, I mean, let's go with what drives you nuts.
What drives me nuts is, sorry if I offend anyone here, but when people are throwing out a lot of hype words, that bothers me. That really irks me a little bit. Like when people are throwing out 5D or quantum jumping, but they don't know what those things actually mean. I think probably you've noticed I don't say those things a lot. You know, I know Pam does. She's big on the quantum jumping and she knows what that actually means scientifically. Yeah, it is something we teach, you know, in ABC.
Yeah, she actually knows
exactly what it is. Those things like, yeah, so that's one thing that kind of irks me a little bit is just falling into the hype word propaganda just because that's what's hot, right? That, you know, I think that when we're in service, sometimes we won't fall into what the masses are doing and sometimes it will, but to be really informed around what we're talking about. And then things that could potentially hold back entrepreneurs is the other side of that coin, thinking that they don't know enough. Mm-hmm. And having coached entrepreneurs in business for a few years now, I see this a lot where people feel like they don't have enough knowledge, they don't have enough wisdom, and they don't know how to hold space for others. And I think that just comes into, you know, self-validation and confidence, and that needs to come through practice and through time and spiritual practices. The other thing too is the whole like charging thing. And here's the deal with that is we are in a particular era, if we go back even to the Yugas, that it's just impossible essentially right now to pretend that we're not in this age, which inherently is going to have money as a sort of currency for energy, right? And so I think the guilt that a lot of healers and spiritual entrepreneurs carry with them is because we see the potential of humanity. We see that, hey, we can be beyond the money and we can be on the currency. Yes. But is the whole world on board yet? No. And so we still need to play with the rules of the 3D reality that we're in and be able to navigate some sort of a comfort level that is in integrity, right? Actually, Pam and I were just talking about this morning, and coaches who are charging $250,000 for one day, that is not in integrity. Right? I don't think so. How can you possibly say that the value of something in one day, this person's charging for 8 hours, $250,000? That I feel like is just like some sort of a personal competition issue. That's not in service, right? That's not in integrity. I don't think personally. However, you know, if we find a place that is our spot that we feel like, yes, I do believe that the value I'm creating for somebody is worth this, I think that's really important, that we are putting our time and our energy into the highest level of support that we can, right? So me and Pam's programs, a lot of them are several, you know, a few thousand dollars. And that's because what we are packaging and bringing to people, we always ensure that we are under promising and over delivering so that what people are paying for, they're getting that and so much more. So, you know, I think that for a lot of entrepreneurs, there's a journey for each of us there to find our own peace with money and charging. Yeah,
I do feel like too, in order to get, you know, the desired reason that you're going into business for yourself, which isn't just about money. If it was, we would just like climb some corporate ladder somewhere if it was just money. Yeah. But on the money front, it is important to get right with that does unlock certain things you desire, albeit helping others on one hand, but then also that freedom that we desire to have in our day and in our schedule and traveling or for our families, like whatever the case might be. And it is wild. I feel like a lot of my clients and myself included have had these money journeys where you're like, whoa, I didn't even realize that. And I have to charge more.
Yeah.
Only because I'm charging too little for what I'm bringing to the table, right? It's like, it's knowing that, it's knowing your worth and then adding tax.
Yeah. Like you'll see as you're providing for people, like, are they comfortable with that? You know, like when I'm getting feedback that, holy crap, your program is worth so much more than I paid for. Thank you.
Yeah.
Then I know, okay, this is integrity. Yeah. Is it a few thousand dollars? Yes, it's thousands of dollars. And they're saying I would pay more. So that is a really good indicator, you know, from the feedback that is fair, you know, and that I think it's important too that we're always giving back, right? Just like Pam and I are giving money, we also give our time. We do a lot of free events as well. And, you know, we do care. We do care, and we need to care about ourselves and our families and our abundance. Yeah. everybody's going to be coming in from different levels, right? We've had eight-figure earners, so people who are having trouble paying rent. And so there, I think it's important for Pam and I to have, you know, different levels of support too, that anybody at any level can work with us.
Yeah, that's actually a really good point, because I do think, especially in the spiritual entrepreneur community, you can give back in a way that is still in integrity to yourself while also allowing for anyone to come in the journey, depending on what level they're at. Very good point. Very good point. I do that too.
I love that. Yeah. I think that's, you know, one way to kind of navigate and find equilibrium in, you know, heart of people who are wanting to be in the gold age, but also being physically in this, you know, kind of bronze age.
Yeah. Well, and I think it's also right. Like, there's nothing good or bad about charging.
Yes.
Like it is an energetic exchange because of the time we live in. It's not bad. It's not good. It's just like, is what it is. And it's how it feels for you. And if it's feeling like you can't, then that's when they definitely have to hire one of us to help them figure out where it's coming from.
Yeah, definitely get yourself a money mindset coach if that's the case.
Like, what is that? But now, speaking of success, though, because we love success, whatever that looks like for everyone listening or for us, like, we know what success means for us, but how would you, like, maybe give a few fun ways that my listeners could kind of tap in or plug into the energy field today to kind of amplify their wealth and abundance and their success kind of thing?
I love that. Yeah, I think it's good to also think about what success does look like for us. Like, to tune in, maybe go into meditation. If you know the Akashic Records, go there and meet with your, you know, highest level, most successful self. It could surprise you, right? I know when I've tuned into mine, she was financially secure, but I wouldn't say she was like a billionaire, right? It doesn't need to be that. So success will look different for everybody, as you already mentioned. I think what's really important is gratitude. Ooh. I think when we can tune in, and we have a gratitude code in the Awakening Bliss Code,
right? All the time.
And when we can tune in, yes, yeah, me too. And when we tune into that, it does a few things, right? It's a state of mind. It's not just an emotion, actually. Studies show that it's a complete state of mind that can change your brain programming and your neural pathways. So being in a state of gratitude will shift our perception of reality. It's going to amplify everything that we're already grateful for. When we are in a gratitude mindset, it's basically signaling to the universe, and it's a strong signal, because in vibrational studies, it does show it's extremely high up on the vibrational scale. And so when we tune into that, we are creating a magnetism. We're really amplifying our vibration and sending that out, saying, oh my gosh, I'm so grateful that I just had that trip with my family. I'm so thankful for my little puggies here. You know, the universe is like, oh, this vibration is very high to God consciousness. And so it's resonant to creating even more of that. And so through gratitude, we get more of what we're already thankful for. And that brings us into a very high state for manifesting, not from a place of lack, but from a place of already feeling secure with what we have, that we have a magnetic energy, not a separation, repulsion energy, that can create more of it. So for anybody seeking to create more abundance in their lives, my number one tip on that would be to already be in gratitude with where you are now. And for me, if you're having trouble thinking about, you know, and this will happen to everybody in life, that we will have really dark eras, right? Where it's like, well, I'm having trouble thinking what I'm grateful for. That's a mindset issue, because right there, you should already be thankful that you can think. Yeah. I worked with people for years with cognitive disabilities for nonprofits, and I know what it's like to be around people who have lost their thinking abilities. So the fact that you can even think right there, oh no, I'm not grateful, be grateful that you can even think and that you have thought processes. Be thankful you can see. Right? If you have your ability of sight, if you can listen to this podcast, be thankful you have your ability to hear. Be thankful that you were even born, right? No matter what the life is. But if you're having trouble finding gratitude, just start at those very basic things. And they start basically at the physical level. And that will help. Once you start thinking of what you're grateful for, even from that place, then it just keeps snowballing. snowballing, and you keep growing in that gratitude. That is what creates magnetism, because when we're in that place, it's unity consciousness. Whenever we're in separation consciousness, that's what breeds lack. And lack is where we you know, are not going to find the people, find our loved ones, you know, find peace, find stability, find abundance, right? Because when we are in unity consciousness, we don't need to seek and find. We're already part of it.
Ooh, I love that. You know, it's so interesting to the gratitude piece, because I feel like we can find gratitude even in like the crappy situations that are going to happen in our human. Like my AC went out the other day, like woke up on a Sunday with no air conditioning. And it's like 90 and humid in Chicago. And instead of being like, oh, this is going to be the worst, right? I was like, okay, well, it'll be fine. You know, I'll wait until Monday. So I'm not charging some like extra fee to come on Sunday. We're good. And I actually, when I had my AC turn back on, my mom goes, isn't it so amazing to think that you have AC? Like, think about all the places in the world that don't have it. And I was like, wow, I really am grateful. And I'm also grateful that I can bring someone in, right? And like have them come and fix this. And even though I could have just been like, oh, this is terrible. I had the worst night's sleep. It was so hot.
Right. And like all those people who don't have homes, all the animals who don't have homes, like they're out in these temperatures all the time. Absolutely. I do think that challenges in life are some of the most powerful, potent portals for gratitude. Like Pam and I actually just moved through something really big last weekend that was very challenging for us. We're still kind of resolving some bit, not between her and I, it was an external thing, but you know, it was very challenging.
I think she talked about it on her episode.
Okay. You know, and her and I keep coming back to, well, what's the lesson? Yeah. What's the mirror that's being shown to us right now? And thank you. Yes, the situation sucked. And thank you so much, God. Thank you so much for bringing that, because we're only here because of karmas. So when we have a mirror put up in front of us, we have an opportunity to move through those karmas, to not make it about any outside party, but make it about, okay, what's our karma that we're moving through? And thank you, God, for bringing that to my attention.
And I think too, when it is that mirror too, it really allows us to take our power back. Like, it's not like something outside that's happening over there. It's like, no, I'm in control of how I react to it.
Yes.
Which is wild and cool.
Yeah.
I did not feel in control when I had no AC, but I knew I was going to fix it. So I did have control.
Yeah. And like the thing is, we have control over so little in our lives. I mean, there could be a major worldwide blackout, right? I think about stuff like this. I actually broke up with a guy once because I thought, what would he be like if there wasn't an end of the world? Like, no, can't survive.
He gone.
But even so, right? Like, if we think of the most challenging situations, are we firm enough in our own foundation, right? Like, how do we navigate what is happening around us, that we are so sure in ourselves that no matter the situation, we're the same person.
Yeah. You know, I think too, I know you and Pam, I've been talking for, gosh, probably about a year now about calling him my beloved, my future hubby, wherever he's at. And I do think it's so interesting. I have a few single friends right now, and we talk about how, you know, oh, like we haven't met him yet. And I said, we aren't talking like that anymore. We have to look at like, what am I not giving myself? Because you could be in a relationship right this second if you walk out the door, but you're going to be in one that's, you're not going to want to be around them if there's an entire blackout and we're just stuck together, right? Like, so how do we, you know, think about it differently and think about what we can control, which is how we're showing up for ourselves, how we're treating ourselves, and actually calling in from that place instead of a place of like, I need to find someone else.
Right. Exactly. And like even that, we can't control any other party. No. A lot of the time, the only thing we can control is how we respond to things and how we initiate things, right? Other than that, there's really, really very little we can control. I mean, with AVC, we can control a lot more, but we use it with integrity.
We do with integrity, which is actually my number one value in life is integrity. Yeah. And so if it's not integrity, I am absolutely not doing it. No. That'll like set me off my equilibrium. I'll be like, what is this?
Right. And the mindset, like, I think even more so than the response, it's like, okay, I can at least control how I respond to my own thoughts about us, right? Because our thoughts, they need to be trained. And so when we're training them at first, we might still have negative thoughts, but we can choose how we respond to our own thoughts, right? We talk about this a lot in ABC, being the witness, being the observer. We can control that at that level. That's where it starts from. And then you know, controlling maybe who we want to surround ourselves with, or maybe who we can't let into that bubble anymore, because low vibrations are, they're actually stronger. Like if you think of like gravity, so they can pull you down, right? So we can make, you know, initiatory decisions and stable responses. I think that's all we can really control.
Yeah, that is all we really can control. And I think you're exactly right, because when we start to look at who are we surrounding ourselves with, well, if you are looking for a high vibe community, but then you're choosing these people who are just like gossipy or all they want to do is party, but you're like trying to go, then you got to be like, okay, maybe it's, they're not on the path yet and that's fine, but I have to lovingly let them go and like go explore something else for me. Not do the same shit and expect a different result.
Yes. Yeah, exactly. I think that's a hard thing too on the spiritual journey, especially for people like just coming into it or having an awakening, is because, you know, we said earlier, it does create an isolation. And part of that is because the people, places, and things you knew before probably won't fit your new vibe. And that can be really painful because, you know, we have the compassion, like, oh, I love that person. And it really hurts too. Yeah. And that's okay. I can make space for that. That they just, you know, they're not willing to come along on this part of the journey. And maybe I just got to explore my own and find my tribe. That can be really hard. But I think it is, you know, a lot of my own mentors and in my own experience, I see that lower vibes will win out, unfortunately. And I think it just has to do with, if you think kind of the weight of something, what has more mass in a way, because the higher our mindset, it does have less mass to it, right? It's considered a density in some of the teachings. So that higher vibe, while it is so powerful, being in this 3D world, it actually doesn't beat out in terms of weight and mass and pull, like the gravity of it. And so when we are bringing ourselves around people that have, you know, victim mindset, scarcity mindset, it's going to pull you down. No matter how high vibe you are.
Yeah, for sure it will, because we're only human. So then we'll think about, oh, that one time. Our subconscious will be like, we are always going to prove you right. I'm going to bring up that one time when that was right, so that then all of a sudden you're on that same, you know, potentially going down to that same level. And ooh, no thank you.
Ooh, no thank you. We love you, but I can't have it here.
I'm like, ooh, I'll avoid that. Thank you. We can't always avoid it. Right. Like there are like people in, you know, maybe your family or at work and like you can't, but then you can put other boundaries up and protect yourself in a different way than feeling like you have to be around that person or doing all the things, whatever. And I feel like that's important, don't you? Like boundaries.
Oh gosh, of course. Yeah. Not barriers, but the boundaries for sure. And, you know, thinking like, do I really want this in my field? And something I ask myself is the person in front of me behaving a way that I would want to behave, like, because being in their orbit, that's going to, you know, rub off on you. So if you don't like that person's behavior separate from you, that's probably not somebody to be around, because it will impact you. A lot of studies show that when people spend a lot of time together, brainwaves sync up. So this is proven, even on a science level, that who you are around is what you're going to be like too. And if you don't like how that person's behaving, don't be around them, because it will start to impact you. It is insidious. It will infiltrate your field.
So now they can just all be in our orbit, all the people listening, like, just come into our world.
Come with us.
Come on into our community. Like, we're good over here.
Yeah. And I love that too, Emily, what you said about that, because we can invite people with us. If they want to come, they can come. Like my family, they definitely have come for the ride. I never thought they'd be on board with like my alien contact and like all that stuff.
We should do a whole separate episode about alien contact too, because I wondered if we were going to go there, but then we didn't. So now we have to do another one.
We got to do another one on it. But yeah, so we see aliens. Yeah,
after Mount Shasta, then we'll do it.
Yeah. Oh, great idea. I love that. But some people in my life came along for that journey, and I've seen their consciousness expand, right? It's just like opening a door, like, hey, you want to come check this out? Maybe they'll go off on their own path, their own, you know, spiritual journey, but people can choose to come along, and others will be like, no, no, no. And probably on soul level, they just got a lot more cleanup work to do. And we got to let them do that.
I do also find like people in the beginning, when I was telling them, you know, about my spiritual gifts and my path and what I was doing, were they surprised me. Now I'm not surprised by it, but they surprised me because I thought they would, you know, judge me or be like, "Ooh, that's so weird," or like, "What's that?" Like, ha ha ha. But instead it was like, "Oh my gosh, so curious. What is that? What does it mean?" Like, "Oh my gosh, you're a medium. Amazing. Do you take on clients?" You know, all the things. And even my family, you're exactly right. It's like they've opened up so much more to it. They're not doing all the things I'm doing, but they see how happy it's making me. And they're like, that's all that matters in the end, is that you're helping people and you're happy.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. There's a saying in business, you probably have heard it, but don't get into people's pockets, right? Like assuming like, oh, this person can't pay. That will kill your whole entrepreneurship journey. And it's the same thing with the consciousness. Don't get in anybody's head. You don't know where they're at, right? Like when I start, I was scared at first. And I know we'll do another like alien episode, but when I first started posting about that, I was scared. And I was so blown away by how many people reached out to me and said they never felt they could ever talk about it, but they had this contact, they saw this thing. Like all these people who opened up, they said they never talked about it in their life. And people who would really surprise you too. And so we can't get into people's heads and hearts. Can't get into their pockets. Let people surprise you. Just got to do what you got to do.
Yeah. And what's the worst case? They're like, okay. Dead black doesn't do anything.
Okay. I don't want to be friends anymore. Like, okay, I guess you can't be friends.
Yeah, they're like, oh, that's, you're a witch. Oh, okay. Cool.
Oh, yeah. You probably got, because I never claimed witch. I was never into the witchy world, but you probably got stuff.
I did. Yeah, I got a lot. I actually had someone who ended up becoming a client of mine who was like, oh, you cannot brand as witch because you will turn people off. And I said, I feel like that's just your witch wound talking. And they were like, what's that? And I was like, well, you're like, you know, having these spiritual experiences, but you're hiding and you're in the spiritual closet. And so like, you feel like if you say witch, you're going to go get like burned at the stake. Like maybe that's what happened to you. I don't know, in a past life, right. But that's not in reality. And then they ended up coming, taking my program, discovered they were a very powerful medium. They're actually one of my celebrity clients. So I can't say who it is, but my God, I won't say who it is, but yeah, she was like, I really did need to heal that because it wasn't true. And the only other people I've actually had be like, oh, you're using witch was my parents, but they were actually more caught on the rich witch. They were like, oh, are you hungry? And I was like, rich is in everything. Richness in family, love, money, adventure. And I was like, but thank you for asking. And they were like, do you think you'll keep that? And I was like, yes. But yeah, I have actually had people be like, whoa, I love that name. I love this. Like, this is amazing. We need spiritual coaches, you know?
It is good. I love that. And I love what you said. I mean, like chocolate can be rich or, you know, like a rich experience or a rich joke.
Yeah. It doesn't have to be just money. Like it's literally everything. Because if it was just money, then I would have probably gone into like, I don't know, banking or like something crazy where I'm making like a crap ton of money if it was just money.
Right. Absolutely. And you were in corporate before. I mean, there was a point where I was making more money modeling than in my business, but it's not. It's not about the money.
Oh, yeah. No, when I walked away from those multiple six figures, at first I was like, how's this going to feel? I was like, oh, actually, it's kind of exciting because I don't have a cap anymore. And I get to show up how I want to show up in a way that's really, you know, in lighting me up.
Yeah. Yeah, that's dharma. And, you know, they even say in the Bhagavad Gita, like, don't worry about the fruits of your labor, just do the labor. The fruits will come. And if we are in service to the divine, you will always have the fruits. It may not come when you think or in the way you think, but it will always come. And I think that's another message that you asked about before for entrepreneurs is trust that your abundance will come. If you are in support of the divine and are in service, the abundance will always come.
Yeah. I love that. And I think that that's a really good thing for entrepreneurs to be aware of, especially if you're just starting out, you're maybe even just a few years in, is trust and hold your vision.
Yeah. It can be hard. Sometimes it can take a while.
Yeah.
I know. I mean, I started at $5 tarot readings and now I have a multi-six-figure business, you know, but I didn't know it would get there. It just, for me, it was like, I need to do this. I need to be of service. And I think just being on that dharmic path, you know, we talk about the four aims of life that are written about in the ancient texts, and it always starts with dharma. The dharma leads to the kama, which is the joys of life, the artha, which is all the money, in life, and to moksha, which is liberation. So it always starts with, if you're living your purpose, you're in service to your purpose, the money, the joys, and the liberation will all come.
That is like, that is such a good nugget. I have yes. two fun questions, but we're going to leave it on that nugget.
Okay.
Just keep talking for like hours and hours, but I'm like, I want to end with like a fun question. Two for you. So we're going to do two fun questions. As you are the second guest, you get two fun questions. Woo-hoo! Okay. What's your soul's favorite guilty pleasure?
Oh gosh. I don't know if I should answer honestly.
As honest as you want to be.
It's hard for me to lie. So. I would say I enjoy all the pleasures of life. I'm very Venusian. It's my best planet. So I do love, sleeping in late. Mm-hmm. I love beauty things. I love overindulging sometimes. And I will say I do love sex with my boyfriend. That's probably my best guilty pleasure.
I don't even think that's guilty. That's just pleasure, I think.
No, it's not a guilty thing, but... I don't know if it would trigger anybody, but I would say that, yes, I'm very connected to my divine feminine.
We love that. We love that. And then for the really, really fun one, if your aura had a theme song, what would it be?
Oh, my gosh. You know what I heard immediately was Star Wars.
Wait, I love that. And just check so that then our next episode will be about aliens.
Yeah, that would probably be my theme song.
Yeah, that checks. I love that that's the first thing that popped into your head, too.
Yeah, that popped in right away.
They were like, we know exactly what question she's ending on. Wait, I love that. This has been so, so much fun. Don't worry, guys. Alex is going to come back. We're going to talk about aliens. If you don't want to listen to that episode, don't. You can skip it. But we're definitely talking about it. I bet that would be like one of my top episodes.
It'll definitely be edgy. That's for sure.
You have an edgy moment in Rich Witch Land. So Alex, I would love to tell everyone where they can find you. I know you've got your signature academy, like tell them all the things, all the tea.
Yeah. So you can find all of me and Pam's offerings on awakenmysteryschool.com. You can follow me, Alexandra Hanley, that's spelled Hanly, on Instagram, or Pam is Pamela Unicorn. We're basically the same person, so feel free to follow either of us. And we do a lot of free offerings. We have one every month, and we also have our signature program, the Academy, which is 6 months for a very deep dive into the spiritual teachings, the mystery teachings, the ancient texts, and energy technologies, along with coaching for creating your own business entrepreneurship journey.
And you get ABC.
And ABC, yeah, you can learn all the beautiful codes that Emily gets to play
with. Yes, and I will have linked all of her stuff also in the show notes, so you can go ahead and check it out there. Make it easy for you to find her. Thank you so much. This was so, so fun.
Oh my God, I love you. Thank you so much for having me on.
That's a wrap on today's podcast episode. If you loved the episode, don't forget to subscribe, rate, and review on Apple Podcasts, or give a 5-star rating on Spotify, depending on where you listen, and share the magic on your socials. Tag me at The Rich Witch Next Door so I can send you some love. To explore more, make sure you check out the links in my show notes. And as always, stay magical, stay powerful, and stay sippin'.